Okay, good evening. This is the meeting of the first meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. Today is January, oh, it's only the 6th, I thought it was the 7th. Today is January 6th, 2010. My name is Amy Sangiolo. I am the Chair of the Programs and Services Committee. And tonight we are joined with Alderman Steve Linsky from Ward 2, who's Vice Chair of the Committee, Alderman Ted Husmahan from Ward 3, Alderman John Rice from Ward 5, and Alderman
Richard Blazer.
Blazer from Ward 6.
Crandall, like candle.
Sorry. It's not flowing, I'm sorry. It's 7:48, and we'll start. The first item on our agenda is item number 414-09, appointment by His Honor the Mayor, Marion Knapp, 6 Bellingham Street, Newton Highlands, appointed as a member of the Newton Council. As member of Newton Council on Aging for a term to expire November 1st, 2012. Is Marion here?
She is. Yeah,
she was the first one here, so she deserves at least a brownie for that.
A brownie point.
Whatever
you prefer. A brownie point.
Okay.
Hi. So Hi. One of the things we do with new appointees is we ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about why you are interested in being on the council.
Okay. I'm Marion Knapp. I've lived in Newton for 40 years. And I'm actually a member of the Advisory Council already, the Council on Aging. And I got involved for a number of reasons. One is that I myself am an older adult. And second, I was a caregiver for many older adults. And having that experience, I decided 9 years ago to go back to school, and I recently got my doctorate in aging. Actually, my dissertation was Aging in Suburbia, and I did my research in Newton.
Oh, wonderful.
We're all aging.
Aging
right.
Suburbia.
Right, well, surprisingly, the vast majority of people in this country and the vast majority of older people live in suburbia. No. There's virtually nothing written about aging in the suburbs. So that was what my dissertation was about. And I did a qualitative research project interviewing people who lived in Newton, and I recruited people through the senior center.
Oh, great.
And when I did that, I told Jane that I'd be back after I finished to bring what I had learned into the community to help in whatever way I could. So that's what I did. When I finished, I came back to Jane Colino and I said, I asked her what her vision was, and I told her I wanted to help her fulfill her vision. So I was appointed to the advisory group, and now I'm appointed as a commissioner. So that's why I'm here and that's why I'm interested. Essentially, from my own experience and from my research, what I've learned is that there's a lot of information, a lot of resources that are available in the city and elsewhere. It's very difficult to get the information. It's hard to find it, hard to know where to look when you need it. And so that's part of what Jane and I are actually talking about, is how do we bring the whole community together in a way that's going to make it easy for people to get the information and resources that they need.
Do you work with, in consultation with some of the other Council on Aging in the community, in the area?
I don't, but in my other part of my life, I work with community groups as a facilitator to help them get organized around important issues in their communities. So
okay.
That's what I do, but it's not only aging issues that I work on, it's other kinds of issues. I do a lot of work in inner city Boston.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
So,
do any members have questions?
I'm good. I'm interested in what your thesis was about, what you found out about.
Well, the whole premise was that, and by the way, there's a copy of my, I donated a copy of my dissertation to the library, so this copy, if anybody's interested in looking at it. The term aging in place implies that people are getting older in their homes And so there's a big focus on the home and helping, bringing resources into the home. And of course, I know, we all know that life is much more complicated than just your house. So what I was interested in was really understanding that sort of the total environment that surrounds people as they age. So a piece of it is their home, but it's also their neighborhood, their community. And so what I did was interview people just to ask them to tell me about their lives. You know, what was it like when they first moved to the suburbs? What was it like for them now, and what they anticipate for the future, given that they were living in a community that was essentially built for families with young children? And so I sort of outlined the complexity and the various components that make up that the total notion of what aging in place really means.
I just did want to let you know then, with respect to aging in place, zoning and planning is going to take up some amendments to our accessory apartment ordinance.
Oh, great.
One of the things I worked with Community for Living Network on developing the accessory apartment incentive program, and then also on these particular amendments, which should make it somewhat easier, although we have some other hurdles to overcome.
Right.
But one of the things that we found, CLN found doing their study, was that a lot of older folks did want to age in place, as you say,
right.
But didn't have either the wherewithal or the zoning didn't allow them to you know, live in an accessory apartment and rent to, as you say, a family, and stay in their home, which is where they have their supports, friends, so forth.
Right, right. That's an important piece. It's a very important piece because, you know, especially in a place like Newton, a lot of people live in big houses, and it's hard to maintain. It's hard to, you know, as you get older, hard to care for yourself, and so that's a very important piece.
Keep in touch, and I'll let you know when the public hearing is, and you can come.
I'll come. Well, I'm happy to be a resource. I mean, I can't say that I'm an expert in everything, but. But I, you know, have done some research, and I have my own personal experience over many years. And so I know what the issues are and have obviously done a lot of thinking about it.
Thank you. I also see you're from Newton Highlands. So.
Yeah.
But we have a number of, I run the Hyde Community Center.
Oh, okay.
And we have a number of programs. I was there today. We have 30 seniors do stretching.
Yeah.
And but that's a very, very active program. So but I may contact you at one point and get some more advice about but the different senior programming. Because what we try to do is do from young toddlers all the way to seniors for all different programming to make sure that it fits into the
program. That's great. Well, one of the things that I'm working on with Jane is is to do an assessment of what already exists in Newton. So there's documentation of all the formal programs, you know, like at the Senior Center office or the Springwell and so forth. But there's no documentation about what's going on in the local neighborhoods, what's going on in churches and synagogues. So the idea is to first make an inventory of all the assets that are available in Newton and centralize that information so that people can find out about what's going on in their particular area. So I might be calling
I think that would be a great resource because I spoke with the senior center like 2 or 3 years ago, and I know all the seniors' transportation flows in.
Right.
And we were saying, well, we do this and we do that, and they say, well, everything is attracted to the hub instead of talking about, you know, satellite programs.
Right, and that's exactly a piece of what we're doing. Is to identify places, first of all, where things exist, and also then where the gaps are. But first, we have to know what's there so as not to duplicate efforts, not to, you know, build things that are already in place but people don't necessarily know about them.
Terrific.
I just have one quick question.
Yeah, sure.
I'm afraid to ask this question.
No, ask.
Well, I may not like the answer, but when you say a senior, what age group are we at now?
You name it. But well, the way I look at it, it's everybody. Because if you're not a senior, you may be responsible for taking care of a senior. If you have grandparents, you're involved in the whole notion of what, you know, growing older is. So I can't really answer your question.
Well, I just thought whether it was above 65 in general, above 60,
Well, the city defines it, or the Department of Senior Services defines it as over 60.
Over 60.
I think Springwell does the same thing.
And Spring, yes. And as it turns out, that almost 20% of the population of Newton is over 60.
Yeah.
So it's a huge proportion of the population, and that's growing.
Yeah, I would think it would be at least that.
Yeah. Well,
30, a third or
something. No, it's 19% nationally. Actually, I don't know. I can talk like over 65 nationally. It's like 8 or 9% and here it's 12%.
We're
in older area. Yeah, it's an older suburb.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
People under 20 or 21 is also around 19-20.
Yeah, we're very skewed.
Yeah, right. But 65 and older. I mean, that's a huge age, a huge range, and so it's actually the largest block in the city.
Terrific. If there are no other questions, is there a motion?
I'll move to approve the Paul Mayor's request, I guess. Same thing.
Alderman Linsky moves approval. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I'm happy to be a resource if people have questions. If I don't have the answer, I can probably try to figure out how to get it. So I'm happy to be here as whatever I can do.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
So in 2 weeks, the full board will approve the appointment.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The next item on our agenda is item number 413-09, Alderman Colletti and Salvucci, proposing an amendment to the rules and orders of the board. Do we want to hold this?
Well, actually, I don't know.
Since
you don't have a rule set for moving.
Yeah,
I would recommend.
Well,
now,
but I think we wanted to have Alderman Colletti and Salvucci at least describe what they want to do. But since we have folks here for item 383-09, I'm just wondering if we should.
Yeah.
Would the committee mind if we went?
We can leave it. I know that Alderman Beckett indicated that if we formed a rule subcommittee, he would want it.
He would want to be on it. I think he made that clear to a member.
I think he's made this clear.
Yeah. So if the committee doesn't mind, I'd like to table the other items and go straight to item number 383-09 since there are people here. Item number 383-09, Alderman Linsky and Hess Mahan requesting adoption of a resolution to be forwarded to the President and Attorney General of the United States along with Newton's congressional delegation in conjunction with similar resolutions and actions being taken by communities nationwide to urge Congress to repeal the ban on releasing clear detainees into the United States and welcome in particular a clear detainee into our community who was represented by two Newton attorneys who were recognized for their efforts by the Newton Human Rights Commission as soon as such ban is lifted. We briefly discussed this item at our last Programs and Services Committee meeting back in December, and I think we held it in order for this board.
Well, I think it was referred.
It was referred. Okay.
The notes on the last page, it was referred.
So, Alderman Linsky, do you want to...
Thank you. Just a couple of introductory comments here. I unfortunately wasn't able to spend a lot of time on the discussion, but we are joined this evening by Doris Tennant and Alan Lavelle, who are the folks who helped draft. And you'll see, it's just been circulated, a draft of the resolution itself. I believe this draft should be similar to what was discussed at the last meeting. Our packets per se, so I make copies. What is new information, though, that has been relayed to all the members two pieces. One, which kind of describes the purposes of the resolution, and the second piece, which describes in more detail the specific detainee that we've been talking about and the client that Doris and Ellen have worked with now for
three and a half years.
The idea was to put together a resolution. Similar type of efforts are happening in various places, in various forms across the country, but it's fair to say that we are amongst the first, but we're not the first community that's actually a past one. That has already been done by our friends in the West and Amherst. But what's particular to Newton, and this is why you'll see it in the material that was forwarded, is that we have residents who have had a direct role in regard to one of the substance detainees. The reason for docking the item last month was because at that time we had a president who was committed to effectuating changes at Guantanamo, hopefully within the first year of his presidency. And so we felt that it was a time to get the ball rolling a little bit, so that as the president was considering all the options available, that this community and perhaps others would indicate that they could participate as appropriate. Since that time, as you may have heard, it's a little bit more evident that one of the options, which is another facility in this country that would replace Guantanamo, isn't yet ready. It's probably, most people think, it's probably another year or so before there's actually another correctional facility that would house those people who will be remain in detention. But there are a whole bunch of people, including this particular detainee, who presumably will not. And then the question is, what will happen to those folks? As you may know, there have been discussions with some of the detainees relative to being housed in other countries, but at least in regard to this particular detainee, I think a pretty good case can be made that it's appropriate for this detainee to remain in this country, and particularly this community. So I think Doris and Ellen can describe in far better detail the particular ways in which this is an appropriate resolution for this board to consider. Mm-hmm. So if we can pick up the discussion from where we were last month, I think we'll.
Okay, great.
Has everyone had a chance to look at, I know you have a lot to read, so you probably haven't put together a 2 pages of information that, because we were trying to anticipate questions. And then there's a profile as well about him, which I think, oh yeah, I see. I think you said that.
I think he has that one. Maybe we could begin with your questions if you have any.
I've actually been following this since day one, because I've been involved with, I'm a little bit involved peripherally with Sabin Ouellette.
It's been
fabulous with us. So I support everything you've done. I think it's been great. And I support this resolution. I guess my only question is, my understanding at this point is that there's a ban on letting any of these into the United States that has to be overturned by Congress.
Congressional ban.
So if and when it's ever overturned, and given the state of the Democratic Party at this point, I have no confidence in anything they're going to do. So I have to be honest. But if they do something right for a change, when you say you welcome the clear detaining into the community, what do you mean exactly? We offer them a place to stay here. Is that what you want to do?
Right.
And what would that be, and how would that work? I mean, do you need any?
The thing in your house.
We have room, actually.
Sometimes they do an accessory apartment.
One thing we should say is we are, given the ban, we are making effort to find another country for our client to resettle. We're making as most efforts we possibly can, and it's been very, very difficult. Partly because of the ban, other countries are saying, well, why should we take these guys if you're not willing to? And I guess partly because our client is from Algeria, and our State Department and our government have been very reluctant to make any waves with
the country of Algeria, unlike some other, I mean, Algeria's got a terrible human rights record, and that's, and our client left Algeria to begin with because he was attacked by terrorists. And he's terrified of going back because of the possibility of being recruited by the terrorists or many other reasons that you can imagine. But unlike other countries such as Libya and Syria
and Tunisia,
which, you know, aren't so critical politically to the United States, the United States is very reluctant to make any waves with Algeria. Algeria is oil rich. I mean, this is our sense. It hasn't been said this way, but clearly Algeria is oil rich, energy rich in other ways. I mean, wind farms are starting there and all kinds of energy projects and so forth. And they have a good relationship, and they don't want to suggest that this is a human rights abusing country. So
although
they have
the Department of State website certainly says they're a human rights abusing country.
So we have not been getting support in our efforts. So anyway, we can be specific about places that we have been looking and the kinds of responses that we've received. But we feel that it's important to make many efforts because of the difficulty of the situation. We don't want to count on any one place coming through. And certainly, we've felt for a long time, I mean, I've got plenty of room in my house. So
we've always felt like he would be welcome in our homes.
So we don't have the details, but we do have a wonderful history in this community. Certainly going back to Civil War days, but probably before that, too, of offering sanctuary, and we have many resources, and I guess
part of Newton's proud tradition to do very fitting.
But any community that would be accepting a detainee would need to make available the kinds of resources that these men, would need, both medical, psychological support, community support, entry, job training, all the kinds of things that these guys have been locked up in a box for over 8 years. So I think, all the communities that are looking at this around the world are looking at what kinds of resources they have to bear.
How did you first get involved with your client?
We volunteered with the Center for Constitutional Rights. We were just so moved by what we saw going on.
How many years ago was it?
Got involved in June of 06. And it was really hard for us because we are a two-person firm, and we knew that it was going to cost tens of thousands with translation fees and travel costs and all to do it. But we've had incredible support. We've raised a lot of money from friends and colleagues, and that's how we've done it, really.
Just to defray expenses.
I mean, of course, we get our time freely, but, we kind of just the hard expenses. And we really decided, unlike other people who are not lawyers, as officers of the court, we actually could do something, even though it wasn't our area. I mean, Ellen does nonprofits and intellectual property, and I'm a domestic relations lawyer. So it was a learning curve, for sure. But a lot of people like Sabin, for instance, it's mainly big firms who are doing it, and so they've offered a lot of support. And we went down there for the first time. Actually, we're coming up on the third anniversary of when we first met him.
He's been down seven times.
A remarkable human being.
We've been to visit like seven times.
Yes, seven times. Yeah. Right. And we've been to court a few times, but at this point, our case is not moving forward because he's been cleared for release, even though he's been held for 8 years now, certainly well into his eighth year, without being charged with anything. So his life has been dramatically changed because he was 27 when he was brought to Guantanamo, and he's 34, actually be 35 in May. And as he says, he just wants to get married and have a life
and children.
Yeah,
that's his favorite topic. And chocolate.
I mean, practically speaking, if of course he would be just as a human being, it would be so really wonderful for him to just know that there's a town in this country that is willing to just say that, even though he knows that the chances of his ever coming here are probably not
great, but it would also be great for us to be able to say to the ambassador of any country that might have the slightest interest in taking him, that this man, who has been called the worst of the worst, like all the others, has been, there's a community that's saying they're willing to have him live there. And I think that would go a long way toward our being able to resettle him, even though that's not ultimately the goal, but just in a practical sense, that's probably the result if we can get this passed in Newton.
I should add that Alderman Baker has relayed his support on the resolution. And actually, there are others. Ted and I, the ones when I name, I think, former Alderman Vance. So hopefully it's free for anyone to add to it so the support is appreciated. I should also say, by way of disclosure, that I'm a former part of a Garza family, but not...
I'll hold that against
them. But not really... like this one, you know, I didn't want that to come out later and take the vote, but not affiliated with the firm. At all, you know, Doris and Ellen have been recognized and honored for their respective roles here. And we anticipate that if the committee is indicating a positive sense here, that we're going to be going out, and that the other organizations in the city, including the Clergy Association,
right.
That is presently hanging on, and the Human Rights Commission. Will also be hopefully weighing in.
Right, so, and Newton Dialogues so on someone, peace and war and
individuals. So when it comes to the board, that they understand that it's a community effort.
Yeah, we just sent information about the proposal to the Newton Clergy Association. And so they received the information last night at their meeting, and I think they had other things on the agenda that they're going to be looking at.
And there have been other clergy associations in various places in the country. That
yes. Tallahassee, Florida, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah. But I prefer to view the fact that there's something very specific to Newton that's involved here. Though there are other places in the country that are giving consideration as well. So. In any event, from time to time, we do get engaged in things that most people won't view are, beyond the bounds, perhaps.
Lenny's going to love this.
right off the bat. So we anticipate that. But what's particular, again, is that this is this is about our community. This isn't just about our community saying something. It's about our community offering to be part of a potential solution. I think the reality is, as Doris was indicating, and as it's become obvious, is that resettlement in other places is been increasingly problematic. That this president is finding that political chips that are involved in this are immense. And consequently, it's just, it has not been happening. And there's nothing on the horizon that makes it seem like that's going to change anytime soon. So.
Right. We did, for example, apply for asylum for our client in Switzerland several years ago. And the application has gone through some processes there, just in the usual course, but it's unusual. and recently we got a good ruling by the higher level court saying that the group that looks at the asylum, the bureau that looks at the asylum applications needs to take additional look at our client and needs to take a lot of information and consideration. So it was very supportive in terms of really taking seriously the application because they weren't doing so initially. So that was very positive. Mm-hmm. And we visited there about a year ago. We met with a lot of politicians and we met at three universities and talked with crowds there. And so there was a lot of support. There's still a good chance there that they will accept him, but things in Switzerland, I don't know if anybody's looked at recently. I mean, they've just banned minarets. It's there's
oh yes, I saw that.
So it's very there's a lot to counter out there in terms of real anti, I think a lot of this is anti-Muslim, it's fear, it's some of it well-founded and some of it really not. So this is bucking the tide for sure.
That's what we do in
Newton. What's that?
That's what we do in Newton.
Yeah, yes.
The one thing that I would recommend before we take a vote on this is that if we do decide to take a vote on it before it gets to the full board, you mentioned, Steve, that the Human Rights Commission hasn't weighed in on it yet?
Yeah, they're meeting later this month.
But have they seen them?
13. Well, it's been forwarded. I can't, not as an organization, I don't want to represent that, so certainly individuals have. I'm hoping that we'll be able to present the resolution to them. So that's scheduled on the 13th. The board next meets on the 18th. Is that right?
18th?
I don't even know.
The 16th is Martin
Luther King. The 18th is a holiday, right?
Yeah. So the Tuesday. The
19th. So we could have that before. So I would recommend that we have that for folks who might be disinclined on the board. Okay. Is there any other questions? Comments? Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Okay. Alderman Hesterhan has moved approval. All those in favor? 5-0. Congratulations.
Thank you.
For now.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for all that.
Oh, certainly.
Really, thank you.
Yes. Yes, we'll talk with you more about the next step.
One favors the prepared.
Okay. I thought I saw Clint.
Yes. He said he'd be happy to speak to 39409 and 39409 Prince 2. And I'd asked Alderman Salvucci and Alderman Colletti, but I didn't get a response from them about coming in for this item.
Is Alderman Salvucci here?
I don't know.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And you want to take it up.
Do you want to take it up?
Yeah, I do, because I don't think it's all that controversial. And the current rules basically appear to read that the president of the board cannot serve on the finance committee, can only serve as an ex officio member for the purpose of casting a tie-breaking vote. And that was something that hadn't occurred to anybody, and in fact, I was the one that pointed it out to Scott that might be an issue. So he did, I think he checked it out with the clerk's office and probably with the law department as well. I asked around. I spoke with Lyle earlier this afternoon, trying to find out if he had any insight into how this got, passed. And he didn't have a clue how this had gotten into the rules. I don't know if there's anybody who's served on the board long enough to remember when it got put in there, or what reason it was for, or whether it was just adopted from some of the source. I personally, and I think Lyle feels the same way, it's not a sort of controversial issue. I don't think basically, when something is recommended by a committee, it doesn't really matter whether it carries or not. We can always amend it on the floor of the board. So, the fact that finance might not, it didn't seem to be a huge issue, procedurally, that you might have a tie vote. And then, Steve, you were on finance, maybe.
No, I don't pretend to know the ideology of this either, because I agree with you. Under our rules, even if you got to a tie vote, as long as it's reported out, I could see a special provision because finance, which so many things go through, so to avoid bottlenecks there, I could see something that would be kind of a circuit breaker to avoid a tie vote. But tie votes don't matter; they get reported out just as a negative vote. So. I don't pretend to know the history any more than that, but I would suggest that I agree with Ted. I don't think that this is controversial in the least, and I don't think that there's a purpose to ban a member of the board who happens to serve as president from the finance committee as a regular serving member. I don't think anyone would ever have intended that. And in this particular instance, I think we have a president who is whose professional background. Calls for him to serve on that committee. So I think this is almost a no-brainer in a way. I think we can, I would suggest acting on it. If I did relay earlier, and Ted has probably talked a lot too about this, if there's a desire to create this subcommittee, whatever, for the purpose of studying this further, he would want to serve. I don't see the need,
frankly. It's just funny because I talked with Scott probably about 2 weeks ago about this item, because I had no idea that Alderman Colletti and Salvucci had filed it. And I thought it was his idea that it go to a rules subcommittee so that it gets vetted out. I hear what you're saying. What is the purpose of banning finance, banning the president from serving as finance? But what would be the purpose of having the vice president serve as an ex officio member?
There's no real purpose, but if you want to retain that structure, if there is.
But see, that's the thing. If there's no purpose to have the president serve in that capacity, why would you have the vice president? So I guess I would argue that if you're going to do this, do it right. Don't even have an ex officio member of finance, and just allow either the president allow the president to serve on finance.
That makes sense.
Any comments?
Yeah.
Any? But then that's not my item. So.
Well.
Do we need to check with Alderman Colletti and Salvucci?
Do you want to hold it, and then we'll check with the. I mean, what committee is Scott on now?
Public.
All right, so, but no, I mean, on Monday night.
Oh, Monday night.
Zap.
Oh, okay. Zap.
Yeah.
All right. So we're not going to be able to do anything for this term anyway, so we have some time, I would anticipate, unless there's a huge hurry.
So is there a motion?
I would only say that if the idea of what's appropriate, whether there is the formation of some rules subcommittee to vet it further. I wouldn't have a problem with the full board making that determination. I guess I'm inclined to move it along. And if someone says, the best process should be a subcommittee to vet it, let them refer it back and we'll form that subcommittee. Okay.
Well, my only thing was that I don't know what Sal had in mind on wanting a vice president as ex officio.
Yeah.
And if he's not available tonight, is he over in the?
He's there.
He's here.
Oh, should we get him? See if he has.
We can try.
Oh, okay.
But was this filed at the end of the last board?
This was after the
caucus.
After the election.
Oh, yeah, caucus, correct.
And for the record, we are on item 413-09. We didn't formally introduce the item prior to going through discussion.
You want to read it to the regular?
Sure. Item number 413-09, Alderman Colletti and Salvucci proposing an amendment to the rules and orders of the Board of Aldermen to amend Article 1, Section 2D to read, the President shall serve as an ex officio member of the Finance Committee with the right to vote in case of a tie vote. Unless the President is appointed to serve as a regular member of the Finance Committee, then the Vice President shall serve as an ex officio member of the Finance Committee with the right to vote in case of a tie vote. And right now we're waiting for Karen to see if she can get Alderman Salvucci.
To follow your train of thought, you mean you would need to change this in two respects. The first clause, which takes out the provision of the president and,
right.
And the last clause, which is the vice president.
Well, that was my question, is why you would ever need to break a tie vote on the
finance
committee.
Yeah. I mean, that's the heart of the...
Yeah. I'd love to know why that was. I went back and looked. Peter Harrington had done, his former alderman, had done a comprehensive study on board rules. This is before we had board rules, and before, literally, there was here until 2 and 3 in the morning on every board night because everybody would speak on every item. So they were looking at the efficiency of the board, and along the way, they adopted the board rules, which they had never had before. So, and I looked through that report and I didn't find anything directly related to that. But it may have been that the Finance Committee had other duties.
Is this the entirety of 2D, Ted? I mean, because it sounds like really what Amy is suggesting is that we just
He said it's right here. The President shall serve as ex officio member of the Finance Committee with the right to vote only in the case of a tie vote. That's under composition of committees. I think that's a brilliant idea, Alderman Linsky.
Delete. That's what you're saying. You just repeal it and then you have to go.
Yeah, he said his intention was to not prevent the President from being able to serve as finance.
I mean, I would happily move to repeal the whole thing because I see absolutely no reason for it unless somebody has one. That would be the only reason to have the whole subcommittee or hold it to ask the law department or somebody, but I don't think anybody's going to have an answer to it.
I don't think so either.
That was his sole intention.
Okay. Yes. Terrific. Okay, so Alderman Hesnahan is making a motion to amend the item to repeal Article 1, Section 2D of the Rules of the Board, and that would delete, the President shall serve as an ex officio member of the Finance Committee with the right to vote only in case of a tie vote. Any discussion? Comments?
I think it makes sense to do that.
Yeah. I agree as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Whether that's the right, I think it's right to report it out, get it to the board, see what people kind of think. And I really think we
and then have it thrown back.
Think that, well, at worst, that's going to happen. People right. think it has to be vetted. That's at worst. If not, we can dispose of it.
Okay.
So how often are rules vetted?
Whenever we come across a problem.
Yeah, it depends. We did one right before the end of the term.
I'm trying to think of the last one.
We did it before the end of the term.
No, I'm trying to think of the last rule that we...
on committee assigning things to committees, I think, wasn't it?
What does the tribal council?
Well, yeah, no, not tribal council.
No, we tried to do the term limits.
Oh, term limits. Yeah, we did that several times. Yeah,
but we had to make an adjustment to the rules because there's some language.
Yeah.
Right. I think we can wipe this out. Do we have to renumber anything else after that? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I could just show
No, that's it.
Good.
Okay. Motion's on the floor. All those in favor? That's 5-0.
So that's to take out that whole section?
Take out the whole section.
Okay.
Okay. The next item, or series of items, item number 394-09, Alderman Baker requesting clarification of the rules of the board regarding referrals to the Committee of Appeals of Decisions of the Traffic Council, and item number 394-09, parens 2, Alderman Baker requesting clarification in section 19-33 and section 19-34 of the City of Newton Ordinances relative to appeals from the Traffic Council. Alderman Baker is not able to join us tonight, but Alderman Hesmahan, did you want to present or talk about this, or Alderman Linsky?
I see the second item's been docketed to two
other committees,
so that's
right.
going to be hanging for a bit. I mean, they obviously, the discussion goes hand in hand. And we know that the presumed genesis of this was our most recent appeal from the Traffic Council, where the president had felt that it was being only our second appeal, but there was another committee, and it's almost as if it was Clinton, maybe you want to have some say here, but as if it's a kind of a case-by-case basis, depending upon the nature, the specific item that's coming from Traffic Council, because the first appeal, which was the Jackson-Daniel Road appeal, was directed to
public safety
and transportation, and this appeal. There had been some sense that because of a prior committee's involvement, maybe it should go there, and that was, public facilities. But I think the strong sense that whereas Traffic Council was really born out of public safety and transportation, and when we, in our last iteration of the reformation of Traffic Council, I think the thought was that this was going to be a process that was in fact going to direct all appeals to public safety and transportation. And that was my operating understanding.
And it isn't clear in the current rules. I mean,
that's correct.
I mean, it could go either way. It's ambiguous at best. I think there's an argument that it should go to public safety under the rules in all cases, but then there's enough wiggle room there. So if there's some clarity on it that it has to go to public safety, or if there's some clarity on it that the president can assign it to wherever, but it needs to be clarified because I think it's very, very ambiguous, and obviously
we changed the ordinance, but we didn't look to go to the rules. And the rules really, rules. It's open to the discretion of the president.
It appeals to the entire board. I mean, the entire board has to vote on it regardless. So I mean, to my mind, it doesn't matter which committee it goes to.
Well, since we have Clint here, why don't we ask Clint to join us at the table and share with us his thoughts. On the item?
I missed you, Steve, tonight.
Did you bring a PowerPoint?
I did not. Going low tech tonight. Just for the new members of the board, welcome and Happy New Year to all of you.
Just introduce myself a little bit, since I do traffic and parking related things, so you probably will never call me for anything. I joke.
Clint Shuckle is our traffic engineer.
I was getting to the name piece of things. Clint Shuckle, associate city engineer, and within my purview is streetlights, traffic signals, parking, traffic signs, crosswalks, all that type of stuff. So more than likely we will be making acquaintances sooner than later, probably. A little background on this item, very briefly. The board, about 1998, originally the Board of Aldermen used to take every single stop sign parking request and came right to the board. And I think over time, the Public Safety Committee really got bogged down with a lot of these little requests. So in late 98, they created this group called the Traffic Council, which consists of a member of Public Works, Police, Planning, a representative, citizen rep, and then a member of the Board of Aldermen, usually the chair or vice chair of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee. So that you have this city staff and elected official and resident that take in these requests and take votes on after they hear public comment. Up until 2 years ago, all those items were docket items. So effectively, whatever Traffic Council did, the docket item went right to the full board, and Traffic Council was saying, we think you should put a stop sign here, we think this street ought to have 2-hour parking, and then the board would take it up, and if one or more board members didn't like it, it would be second called and generally referred to public safety. What happened 2 years ago, we eliminated probably 100 pages of city ordinance and took all that site-specific stuff out and made it a regulation book. So Traffic Council, in some ways, operates independent of the ordinance process now. And the only time that there's overlap is when there's an appeal. And I would say for the most part, the appeal process has been pretty effective. I would say Traffic Council's taken up probably 100 items in the last 2 years, and 3 have been appealed. So for the most part, it's the process works. It has taken that, it has delegated that site-specific stuff, that street-by-street, that intersection type proposals, out of the board's purview unless there's something that rises to the level of opposition or controversy that, then the board is the ultimate appeals court, so to speak. So the first thing on this is that the rules have never been changed since the Traffic Council items are no longer docketed. So I think no matter what you do, you have to update the rules to some degree. So the second part of this is, should an appeal just go straight to public safety, or should the president have some discretion as to where it goes? My own opinion is give the president some discretion, but that's, I think you go one way or the other. You either say public safety is where everything goes, or, because I think in some cases if it was a street closure involved or some kind of road change, you might think public facilities is really the board, or the group that has the expertise. Or if it was something that was specific to a site development, say maybe not Newton North, but say a large private development like Riverside, maybe it's the Land Use Committee that has the expertise, because they've been a part of all the hearings, heard what the abutter concerns are, and maybe they are the. So, I think it's either this is the committee that gets it, or possibly give the president some discretion as to where it goes. Personally, I think maybe there's some merit to giving the president that discretion to decide which committee has the most has had the history or the related expertise to take on the appeal. But as Alderman Hess-Mahan said, it's ultimately going to the full board. It's really just where's the first stop is what this would do. On the Parens 2 item, I spoke with Marie Lawler in the law department, and the law department doesn't believe it's necessary to do an ordinance change for this. The ordinance reads that the Traffic Council appeal item is placed on the board docket, and it's treated as a new item. So you could consider NANing the Parens 2, is it the Parens 2 item that closes the ordinance? So,
yeah.
do you want to wait till the spots, till Alderman Baker weighs in on that? But the law department didn't feel that there was necessary for an ordinance change. You do need a rules change in this case for a minimum of updating since the traffic council changed, and probably also to either say you want the president to have discretion or you want it, the appeals to go to a certain degree.
Thank you.
The point is
that
was long-winded, sorry.
No, that's fine. Okay, is there...
Just don't send it to land use. God.
Thinking Ted wants more work. Alderman Linsky.
Well, Ted's raised that there should be a specific exclusion from one particular committee.
No, I will say,
you know, this, that the reason why I think it makes sense for a specific committee and why public safety was viewed as that committee was because there's some theory that when parties are involved in a process, that it's good for that process to be transparent so that there isn't so that, for instance, people kind of know what they're getting when they, in this case, take an action, like, you know, bring something to traffic council, right? And if it's going to go beyond traffic council. So, you know, I don't know if I go so far as to say that we'd be inviting forum shopping, which legally is basically means is that you try to direct things to really where you want to get them directed to. You can, like the right judge, the right court, and that kind of stuff. And if it's kind of set out in rule that, that the process says it goes from this point to that point to this point, then it doesn't invite the kind of, you know, things that could, you know, that might not. And while it's true that each item can have a little, you know, little different type of flavor to it, that may have a history that some people might be more involved with, either through the committee or otherwise. In general, I don't think that there's that kind of range that a particular committee couldn't adequately handle it. In this case, I would argue public safety. And the other part of it is that it's also a process step. You're really hearing an appeal, and not to say that there's a big thing about that, you know, about handling, but it's an appeal process. So in other words, I don't think it's a bad practice for a committee to become consistent with how the hearing is held. And if you get to different committees, there'll be different ways in which it is held. And it really ought to be some kind of consistency, some kind of uniformity. And it's not a big thing. It's basically, you know, you want to make sure that anyone who has the right and the opportunity to be heard is granted that opportunity, including and especially, of course, the parties taking the appeal. Mm-hmm. So I'm not suggesting it's, it's brain science to run them, but I don't think it's a bad idea for a particular committee to have that practice and that history, and to make sure that everyone is kind of getting the same kind of process, from this appeal to that appeal. And I don't think you would necessarily get it if one went to land use, and one went to public facilities, and one went to ZAP, or whatever it is. And in the end, it does end up at the same place.
Right.
And substantively, will be taken up there. So I don't, again, it won't really affect the substance of the discussion, I don't think. By virtue of which place it's, what's the intermediate step. I just think it's for process purposes. I don't think it's a bad idea for parties to know where it's going to go in all instances, and for that committee to become accustomed to having it. But as Clint said, we've only, then the third one was just one that's just now going to be taken up by public safety. So really, it's been a very, in this relatively short history, it's been, you know, relatively few in nature, but that might change over time, and it might come, you know, in droves and not out of the time. So I guess my argument would be that the rules should reflect a specific committee. Okay. And I would say that committee should be specific.
Alderman has my hand.
I haven't really thought about it until Clint mentioned it, but I know that land use does, from time to time, not as a condition of a special permit, require that traffic council do something, but will require that petitioner not oppose or even perhaps even pursue, for instance, a parking space. We had one, it was Herrick Road?
Yeah, Herrick Road.
We were, you know, asking to remove a parking space, ask traffic council to remove a parking space and then find one someplace else in order to make the project work. So I can see how the expertise of a particular committee might come to bear on that. The other thing that just jumps to my mind is if you're going to have an appeals process, you really ought to have some rules with it. I mean, the land use committee has a set of rules that it uses, and it would be wise for whatever committee gets it to have a set of rules. So I'm tempted to suggest, I'm sure Lyle will want to be on this committee,
is to form a rules subcommittee to look at it, because I think he only asked for clarification of the rules, but I think what he's really asking for is more than just clarification, an amendment of the rules. But maybe I'm reading more into it than is there. And that's what, when I spoke to him earlier, my understanding was that he was looking for an amendment, but I think that's a fair reading of clarification.
Anyone else?
I think it's complex and needs subcommittee would put more thought into it. My feedback.
Well, I was on the rules subcommittee. We don't necessarily put more thought into it.
They have another meeting.
We do have a meeting on it.
Oh, okay. That is
it. Brownies and discussion do ensue.
My word to change.
What?
Would it be worth giving them some direction by taking a vote as if your preference is to send them all the petitions to public safety just to give them feeling of the committee or?
Well, I mean, we could go around the table and discuss what our sentiment is because we each have probably a different view on things. But I think ultimately, if we're going to form a subcommittee, you know, let them go ahead and discuss it, come up with some rules to justify which committee it's going to, and then bring it back to programs and services. I think that probably is the best. I don't know how the rest of the committee feels.
So if it was 5-0 or you had a strong feeling all one direction, maybe they might.
Well, I don't know. Use I don't know. That, I get the
get
sense
started.
That Steve wants it to go to public safety. I don't know that Ted has a sense.
I haven't made up my mind yet.
He has not made up his mind.
I haven't made up my mind either.
Alderman Blazer?
Alderman Baker is the one who proposes this. He's not here.
Do you have any issues to deal with?
Questions, which I think I'd like to ask him, because I'm just trying to find that familiar with the whole procedure.
Uh-huh.
From what I can tell, it seems to me it ought to go to some committee, but how you decide where that's going to be is something I'd like to hear from him.
My own sentiment is that I believe it should be in public safety. I think the discussion and the reasons that, or when we were moving the ordinances out, the traffic council stuff out of our ordinances and into regulations, we had a memo from Alderman Vance who assured us that any appeal or any decision by the traffic council that we didn't like could be appealed, and that appeal would go to public safety. And we have that. We have that memo.
But you need it in the rules.
We do need it in the rules.
Yeah.
But that was a strong and convincing argument to go ahead and give that power. That was a strong selling point.
Right.
To know that it was going to come back to a committee. To a committee. So, is there a motion?
I don't know, move referral I guess we gotta create a rules subcommittee.
No, let's create a referral.
Okay, so is there a motion to create a rules subcommittee?
I'll move in favor of the creation of the subcommittee.
Okay, all those in favor? It's 5-0.
I guess I would do it for both items. I agree with Clint that we may hopefully destroy it, but let's not do it quite yet.
Okay, well, I was gonna say NAN that one.
I probably agree. I don't see that we
because it's our rules about how you assign to committees, and I would rather keep it that way.
All right. Let's make it.
I'm sorry.
Just 394.09.
Okay. 394.09.
Parens 2.
Is there a motion to NAN?
Motion to NAN.
Okay. It's a motion to NAN. All those in favor?
You know what NAN is?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you just agreed. You were just so compelling and convincing.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it.
That's right. You went to the orientation session.
Okay, so it's 5-0 for no action necessary. So now we've created a rules subcommittee. We voted to create a rules subcommittee. So now we have to appoint people. Well, do we appoint people first? Yeah, let's appoint people first to the rules subcommittee and then move to refer the item to...
I move the appointment of Alderman Baker. Committee of one.
Committee of the whole one.
Alderman Baker has made his desire to be on this committee, subcommittee, known.
And he's president emeritus. He has time.
Yes. So are there any other members of this committee who would like to serve on the rules subcommittee? Don't all jump out.
I'll join quick as soon as
No, or Taker.
Is the chair of Programs and Services always a member? Or?
No.
Oh.
Begging out.
I see. No.
I have to check the vice chair. Alderman Linsky is vice chair. We could have one more member, or actually we need one.
Yeah, I'll have Art join it, because actually I've got a rules issue that will be coming up subsequently.
Okay. So,
three lawyers then.
That's right. I didn't realize that.
That's going
to
take
would anyone else like to serve?
We go by the hour.
Would anyone else like to serve?
I'll be a fourth lawyer. I can't serve.
Okay. I think I've passed.
Okay. All right. So right now, our
now would this subcommittee, but would it just be for this item or for other items you were saying?
No, this would be for
this specific
this item. Term.
For this term.
For this term.
Okay. For any kind.
We usually form one. Wait until something comes up. This is gonna be the whole
but it is an open. But it is an open meeting,
yeah,
so anyone can
anyone.
Certainly go and participate. Okay. Without objections, then our rules subcommittee has been approved and formed. Is there a motion to for item number 394-09?
So moved.
Yes. All those in favor of referring? It's 5-0. Item 394-09 has been referred to the Rules Subcommittee. Oops, thank you. Well, that concludes. Is there a motion to adjourn? All those in favor?